Prayer Altars, a Strategy Changing Nations. Chapter 2, Build Me an Altar. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the walls and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but found none. Ezekiel 22:30. There are unprecedented events happening in our world today. Every year, for the past few years, there has been record damage from natural disasters such as droughts, floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, and tsunamis. Countries are on the brink of economic failure, and violence, corruption, and moral spiritual decay are increasing and spreading across all nations of the world. Around the world, the traditional family unit and the concept of marriage are changing rapidly, bringing emotional health problems to individuals and families, and a distortion of sexualities. These negative consequences are affecting the very foundations of society. The number of marriages worldwide is decreasing, while the number of divorces is increasing. Single parenting is becoming the norm in most nations. Due to this, we are seeing a high rate of emotional problems, including rebellion, high suicide rates among teenagers, and increasing emotional illness, anxiety, depression, insecurity, and addictions. The breakdown of the family unit is causing sexuality to become distorted. This is resulting in amazing high numbers of abortions. Promiscuity, experimentation, and confusion of sexuality and sexual orientation. The use of technology is also causing sexual distortion. The pornography industry is a $97 billion business worldwide. 1 in 8 of all internet searches are for erotic content. 1 in 5 searches on mobile devices are for pornography. The American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers estimates that in approximately 55% of divorce cases, at least one of the spouses has an obsession with an online pornography. Child pornography is a $3 billion industry and is one of the fastest growing businesses online. The largest consumer of internet pornography is the 12 to 17-year-old age group. The Christian Pulse has reported that 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have seen pornography on the internet at least once. In addition to this widespread attack on the family, in recent years, there have been increases in uprisings, rebellions, protests, revolutions, civil wars, and terrorist activities. The news is filled daily with numbers of deaths from suicide bombers, drone attacks, and armed conflicts. Added to this is the increase of nuclear threat from Iran, North Korea, and other nations. A great sense of fear and destabilization can be felt all around the world. The increased security we have to deal with just to feel safe is taking a toll on us. The recent global financial crisis, the worst since the Great Depression in the 1930s, has caused severe worldwide unemployment. Several nations are in desperate financial trouble, including the Eurozone nations of Cyprus, Spain, Slovenia, Greece, Turkey, Italy, and Luxembourg. Secularism, humanism, and Islam have increased worldwide, and the growth of Christianity has stalled. The small increase in Christianity is mostly attributed to people from the former communist bloc returning to their faith and the growth of the church in China, while Islam and atheisms are growing. Christianity is basically at a standstill or even in decline, especially in Europe. In the UK, once known for revival and as being a hub of Christianity, many church buildings throughout the nations are being sold because of the rapid decrease of people attending church. Once sanctuaries for the believers, today dozens of churches each year are becoming private homes, bars, offices, storefronts, and even mosques. It has been said that post-Christian Europe that the two fastest growing religions are secularism and Islam. Worldliness and compromise in the church are also evident and on the rise. Christian beliefs held for centuries are eroding. Attitudes towards sexuality, sanctity of life, Christ as the only source of salvation, God as the creator and sustainer of life, the existence of heaven and hell, and life eternal, creating a compromise church. In addition, the church is frequently ridiculed as being hypocritical in its lifestyle. Non-believers see a church that has tolerated sins as so to avoid offense or hurt feeling. Churchgoers treating church attendance as social functions rather than as time to worship and encounter God. And church measuring their success by numbers of attendees and income rather than salvation and discipleship. Rather than being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, discipling their nations, the church has become ineffective and has lost its spiritual and moral authority in many nations around the world as we face increasing darkness flooding the nations. Natural disasters, economic failures, violence, moral and spiritual decay, increasing perversion, and laboring in vain are all signs mentioned in the Bible which indicate that judgment is beginning to come into the land. Reference: Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7, Luke chapter 21, verses 9 and 11, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 5. When you look at the nations today, do you see the signs that judgment is coming? In almost every part of the world, the people are seeing that darkness is on the increase. You can see the forces of darkness that are rising up in nations. God is provoking us not only to see the darkness that is coming in, but also to see the need to create an atmosphere that will allow Him to come in, cleanse and heal the land, and to stay the judgment that is coming into the land. He is stirring a desire in His people to seek after Him, cry out and come to Him in prayer, and draw His presence so He can begin to move, not only in transforming power, but also by pushing back the darkness that is flooding into the nations. 1 Chronicles 21, verses 1 and 2, verses 7 and 8. Then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and the commander of the army, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring me a report that I may know their number." But God was displeased with this thing, and he struck Israel. And David said to God, "I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing. But now, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly." In 2 Samuel 24 and in 1 Chronicles 21, we find an account of how David decided to conduct a census of his army. Basically, David was trying to gauge how big and strong his army was. This did not please God at all. It was not the vastness or skill of David's armies that had brought him great victory. It had been God all along. The prophet came to David with God's message. He instructed David to choose one of three judgments. 1, to face famine for 3 years. 2, to face defeat from his enemies for 3 months. Or 3, for pestilence to strike the nation for 3 days. David chose the third option, preferring to fall into the hands of God rather than men. When the plague began, it killed 70,000 people. David's heart was thoroughly smitten, and he began to cry out to God for mercy. 1 Chronicles 21:9-14. God does not enjoy destroying people, yet it does not mean He will not do it when sin reaches its fullness. When the plague was sweeping through the land, it grieved God's heart as the cry for mercy came up to Him. He said to the destroying angel, "Enough, withdraw your hand." 1 Chronicles 21, verse 15. Many times, when people hear the message of judgment, they hate it. They do not want anyone to tell them judgment is looming over their nation. And yet, unless God has mercy upon you, you will never realize that judgment is looming over your nation. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and heaven, and in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who gave command to number the people? It is I who have sinned and done great evil. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand, O Lord my God, be against me and against my father's house, but do not let the plague be on your people." David did not see the destroying angel looming over Jerusalem until God commanded him to stop the plague. That was the first time David saw the angel. Like David, if God does not open our eyes, we too will not see the judgment. That is actually His first act of mercy, allowing us to see the darkness of our sinful situation and its effects, as well as our desperate need to change the course. It is only by God's mercy that we see the looming judgment break down in repentance and cry for deliverance and grace. That is why, when we see it but do not pray, the angel does not go away. The angel stays in his position with his sword stretched over the land. What does this imply? God was saying, "Let me see if the people will do the right thing and create an environment for me and invite me in their midst, so that I can have mercy on them. I am looking for a man among them who will see the destruction and be stirred to stand in the gap on behalf of the land, that I may not destroy them." Ezekiel 22:30. When people see God's hand of judgment stretched out over the land and become burdened to create an environment for Him to move on behalf of the land, they are not doing that because they are trying to convince God. It is God who draws them to do that, and only God can put that on our hearts. We are not trying to tell Him, "Please have mercy." He is the one who is saying, "I am holding myself back. I have withheld judgment for a period. Will you create an atmosphere that allows me to forgive you and stay the judgment?" When we create that atmosphere, it begins the journey of reconciliation with God. The problem with most of us is that when we pray and God begins to answer, we stop praying. We need to realize that God is not saying, "I have taken away the plague." Rather, He is saying, "I have heard the prayer. Now I will lead you into what you need to do to restore the fellowship between us." That is what it means to build the wall, Ezekiel 22:30. It has been broken down and we need to mend it. There is a reason why so much darkness is coming into our land. The wall is broken down in many ways. We need God to show us how to build up the wall again. It is not enough to get God to hear us and to see some encouragement in society. We must create an atmosphere for Him to come and abide with us so that the real work of restoration and redemption can begin in our land. What condition did God give David? He said, "David, go build me an altar. I will not just stop the destroying angel, but will remove the plague completely." 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 18 through 25. How do we build an altar to hold back the floods of judgments coming into the nations? To answer that, in the next few chapters, we will look at how God taught Abraham to take possession of the land by building a network of altars. We will also see how God used the Abrahamic strategy in Uganda to move powerfully across the whole nation. This concludes chapter 2.